This is The Morning Show, and it's time for our candidate conversations leading up to Election Day. I'm Keely Boltina, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Former Democratic State Senator Jessica King is challenging three-term U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman. Grothman is a Republican in the 6th Congressional District. We hear from both of them this hour, half and half, starting with Grothman. Do you live in Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Fond du Lac, or Oshkosh? If your county is part of this district, we want to know, what issues matter to you? We're at 800-642-1234. Glenn Grothman is a Republican incumbent in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He was first elected in 2014. Congressman Grothman, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Glad to be on, as always.
Congressman, right now, the biggest challenge facing our nation is this pandemic. Wisconsin has more than 41,000 active cases of COVID-19. Hospitalizations have increased in places like Columbia County. How do you think the federal government could bring the pandemic under control?
Well, I think if there's any frustration, I think they're putting too many eggs on the vaccine basket. We may or may not get a vaccine. I don't think they've done a good enough job educating the public as far as other things that can be done to prevent getting it. I've been a big advocate for vitamin D. Early on, Anthony Fauci was critical of that. Now it turns out he's taking vitamin D. We had another study the other day that I don't think the public health establishment has published enough, or the mainstream media has published enough, showing that in Spain, 80% of the people who had serious COVID had a shortage of vitamin D compared to only 40% of the control population. We've had previous studies from Northwestern, MIT, Trinity College in Dublin, kind of implying the same thing. So we could do more of that. I'm trying to push the CDC to do more studies on fenofibrate. Some Israeli researchers have found that that does a good job of curing disease if you give it to you earlier enough. So I think looking into these ways, we could hold down the death toll.
And how can the federal government bring the pandemic under control then?
Well, I think if you have a substantial reduction due to vitamin D or substantial reduction in fatalities due to giving fenofibrate, that would, I think, define not getting rid of it altogether. After all, it's something that is out there. I don't think you're going to get rid of 100% of it. But I think between the two of them, you'd have a substantial reduction in the number of people who had a serious reaction to it.
Yeah, there are a lot of studies that are in that realm of we're getting more information. We're trying to understand what could help. We do know that masks help. The nation's top infectious disease expert, you mentioned Anthony Fauci, supports a nationwide mask mandate to help stop the spread of the virus. You keep mentioning that you're pushing them or they should do more. So wearing masks has become political. What role should the federal government play in encouraging or mandating masks in public spaces?
I think that varies on the state. I mean, if you look nationwide, wide open states, Wyoming, Montana, Alaska, have a significant less problem than the more populated states. And I think to do a one-size-fits-all rule, treating Wyoming the same way as you treat Connecticut, doesn't really make a lot of sense. I think every state has their own public health officials, has their own scientists. And quite frankly, one of the benefits of allowing the states to do things is you can learn from one state can learn from another state. Like I said, I think here in Wisconsin, just like nationwide, I've been a little bit disappointed that the public health establishment has not pushed vitamin D, given what came out from Spain just the other day.
Well, Representative Grothman, it sounds like what you're saying is the federal government doesn't have a place in mandating masks or encouraging that. Is that what you're saying?
Those are two separate things. You know, they can disseminate whatever studies they want. If you want to describe that as pushing masks, you can say it's pushing masks. But again, I think treating rural Wyoming like you would New York City doesn't really seem to me to be appropriate.
Yeah. Well, and actually, the Washington Post's updated numbers for 7-day average of daily new reported cases per 100,000 residents. Top case states are South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Montana, and Wyoming. So they're actually seeing higher rates per capita right now than some of our more populated states who have introduced other things. We're talking with Glenn Grothman, who's a Republican running for re-election for Wisconsin's 6th District in the U.S. House of Representatives. You have a line to this candidate at 800-642-1234. You can call in and tell us what's important in your part of the state. Ask your question. Again, that number, 800-642-1234. Let's stick with healthcare, Congressman. Health systems have struggled to secure enough COVID testing supplies at times throughout the pandemic. How, in your role as a congressman, how is the federal government securing supplies that we need to diagnose and contain the virus?
Well, we've passed. First of all, there's an untruth out there that, you know, we can't get along in Washington. We have passed 4 bills that have been signed by President Trump, throwing billions of dollars not only at supplies, PPE, but testing equipment. And of course, right in my district, in Neenah, Wisconsin, using federal funds, we're going to have testing now. I think for quite a time in the future, we've had temporary testing sites throughout the district. And I think testing is a big thing. I'm a little bit disappointed we don't have more of it. And I've been critical of the fact that we don't have more of these, even though they're not as accurate, the short-term tests.
Yeah.
I happen to have had 2 of those tests twice when I met with the vice president, so I know they're out there. But I know we're having more tests all the time in the state of Wisconsin. I'm glad the federal government was able to fund that site in Neenah, and I know we have had temporary sites throughout the 6th District.
Yeah. Let's talk about funding. Millions of people have lost their jobs due to the pandemic. Lawmakers have been unable to agree on details for another stimulus package to help people struggling in this economy. Why did Congress adjourn without passing a relief bill?
Well, they're negotiating, but let's look at the negotiations. And don't consider myself a partisan person. I get along with the Democrats on a great deal of bills, and we've already passed 4 bipartisan bills. But right now, what they're asking for in that bill is they're asking a new $1,200 a person payment. And Nancy Pelosi, negotiating on her team, has talked about that $1,200 has to go to illegal immigrants. And not only that, they want to give a $1,200 makeup to the illegal immigrants not getting the last $1,200 check. Here in Wisconsin, we've done a good job over a period of years funding our pensions for our public employees. You know, whenever a teacher, a law enforcement officer, whenever they get a paycheck, the local unit of government or the state of Wisconsin sets aside about 10% amount equal to about 10% of that paycheck so that our pension fund is fully funded. Right now, Nancy Pelosi has a plan in which states like Illinois that haven't pre-funded their pension plan, that the federal government will take care of that for them. Well, I don't see how I can vote when Wisconsin's been responsible for something that I think is unrelated to the coronavirus and say that we get a catch-up funding for Illinois when Wisconsin's been responsible all along. There's a provision in that bill saying we have to get rid of photo ID. I don't know what that has to do with the coronavirus. So, you know, these aren't, to me, details. It goes to a lack of sincerity. And I think some people don't want to deal till after the election, and maybe we'll get something more responsible at the time. Because I think that, you know, there are individual businesses here who've hurt by the pandemic and sometimes hurt by government orders that significantly penalize those businesses. I think we could get some sort of catch up there. I think it's important insofar as the economy permanently changes that we continue to have us push my agenda for skills-based education, focusing on tech schools, focusing on jobs and in construction or manufacturing or the medical field.
And we can hop into discussion of the economy in just a few moments. I also want to note that the congressman is right. Undocumented workers are eligible for those stimulus checks. They also pay in to taxes. We're having candidate conversations leading up to the November election. I'm Keely Boltina talking with U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman. Our conversation continues here on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. The We're having candidate conversations leading up to Election Day 4 days from now. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Keeley Boltina. We have Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman, who's running for a fourth term to represent Wisconsin's 6th District. Later in the hour, we'll hear from his Democratic challenger, Jessica King. What issues should Congress focus on amid this pandemic? What issues do you consider in congressional elections? Join in at 800-642-1234. U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman stays us for 10 more minutes. And Representative, we were just touching on the economy when we had to pause. Great. A recent University of Wisconsin Oshkosh survey indicates that more than 8% of businesses worry they won't survive for more than 3 months. What should Congress do to help the economy nationally and here in Wisconsin?
Well, first of all, kind of before the break, you implied that it was okay to give stimulus checks to illegal workers because they pay taxes. People have to realize that a lot of these payments, almost all of the payments across the board, are not being paid for by current taxes. We're running a deficit already. What is going to happen is the government is going more and more into debt. So what they're doing is saying, I want $1,200 checks to illegal workers by going more into debt, which I disagree with.
And if I could challenge you just a moment, I didn't imply that, but I did want to provide context to the fact that this is where it's going. And that was one of the decisions that Congress must have made when issuing it. But I do want to allow you to continue, Congressman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. With regard to the economy, I think it's important that when we give out future checks, and we do have to give out checks, particularly here in Wisconsin, decisions have been made to, again, hold down the sales in the restaurant industry. But insofar as we give checks, I have been an advocate for saying the checks ought to go to businesses that have been hurt by the pandemic. And in the past, some businesses have been getting checks that haven't been hurt by the pandemic. Now, that's a legal thing to do. It's the way the program was set up. But I did have an amendment leading into what became the Democrat negotiating position, where we would look at that a little bit more critically, because we have already put $3 trillion. I don't mind voting to put some more money against the coronavirus, but I think we have to pay attention as far as making sure that when we're helping businesses, it's businesses that actually need the help.
Do you see the next round of stimulus payments more focused on businesses, on keeping businesses afloat, or is this something that you see for individuals?
Well, there's going to be something in there for individuals. But again, last time when the payments came out for individuals, there are a lot of people in society who weren't hurt by it. And this is all printing money, going further into debt. So I think insofar as just giving everybody a check, I don't think that's appropriate. I mean, it's particularly not appropriate to give it to illegal immigrants. But and businesses, I think it's got to be focused on businesses who are hurt by the pandemic. And depending what you make, say you're a manufacturer, some manufacturers are ahead of the game, some manufacturers are hurt a great deal. Same thing with individuals.
Is there a particular place the government should be focusing efforts for help? Because as we've talked about, really a lot of people need help right now.
Well, that's true. I think you focus on areas that are hurt by the pandemic. You know, there are a lot people have a lot of money out there. Some people have a lot of money, and that money's going to be spent somewhere. There are retailers who are ahead of the game, right? There's certain manufacturers that are ahead of the game. There are people who rely on, I think, people traveling who are way behind the game. You know, the hospitality industry is just being killed. You know, the travel industry is just being killed. And that's where we should be focusing, and in part because a lot of this is caused by government order. You know, if the government orders you as a business to shut down, the government has a moral obligation to make you whole.
We've got Adam from...
Focus that insofar as people are going to have to make a permanent adjustment, and some businesses have made permanent adjustments, those people wind up with a good paying job on the other end. Mm-hmm. And that's where focusing on skills-based education is, I think, an important thing, as it always is.
Sure, making that match for the jobs we have available and the skills people who are looking for work have. We've got Adam from De Pere on the line who has a question. Hi, Adam.
Hello. I'm actually a registered nurse. I work in Wisconsin. I understand Congressman supports a regional focus on masking. I just want to see, since the Wisconsin numbers are so high, if he supports Governor Evers' mask mandate as a result, and if he does, has he asks his Republican colleagues in Wisconsin to support Governor Evers' mask mandate. Thank you.
Adam, thanks for the question. And well, certainly, Congressman, you don't have jurisdiction over Wisconsin, but you are a citizen here.
No,
these are your people.
I think lately I feel a lot of times when I'm in places, I'm in the minority wearing the mask. So I think there are pictures out there in which I am wearing a mask more than the people around me.
Yeah. Do you support then Wisconsin's mandate?
Well, I try to follow the mandate. I guess that's supporting it in that regard. I mean, I like I said, I think the other day I was at a rally and I was one of the few people with a mask. And I think you can watch me later today in if President Trump is around.
Sure. Aside from the pandemic and getting the state's economy back on track, no small task, what are other issues that you see in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District?
Well, I've always been an advocate, like I said, for skills-based education. When you don't have skills-based education, you have a lot of people bringing up a lot of student loan debt and not necessarily getting a degree or an education that leads to be able to pay off that debt. So I think it's important to have the universities or other educational institutions kind of sign off on student loan debt in the future so that we don't have people ringing up these $40,000 or $50,000 loans with an inability to pay them off. Not to mention, I think in three fields in particular, construction, manufacturing, and the medical fields, we have shortages we have to fill for our economy. I'm an advocate for, or I have a bill out there to push biosimilars to market, a cheaper substitute for insulin. That's one of my major initiatives. There are people out there paying $600-$700 a month for insulin, depending upon what your insurance is. I'm sure there are certain companies that are making a lot of money on the current system, but I'd like to be able to get these biosimilars to market to save these folks a lot of money. I've always been an advocate for doing something about our means-based testing, which right now kind of has a marriage penalty associated with it. That's something else that we're going to be focusing on in the next biennium.
Hmm. And here in Wisconsin, we've seen protests against racial injustice and in support of the Black Lives Matter movement, especially following the shootings of Jacob Blake in Kenosha and 17-year-old Alvin Cole in Wauwatosa. Do you believe there's systemic racism in our criminal justice system?
I think it's overblown. I think there are studies, if you Google City Journal, if you look at Heather McDonald in the Wall Street Journal, are two that I'd suggest your listeners look at. I think the idea of systemic racism among police is way overblown. I think for whatever reason, if a person of color dies at the hands of the police, that's focused very much on in the mainstream media. If a white person dies, they don't focus on it. But I think if you look at those two articles, you can see overall the studies don't show that as a problem. I think there's some people for political purposes who want to very much exaggerate the amount of racism in our society, and that's unfortunate. And I think what they've done is they've created a situation in which you have horrible things happen, like what happened in Philadelphia the other night, like what's happened in Madison, Wisconsin, in which there's been a tremendous amount of damage. And I think the anti-police hysteria has resulted in dramatic increases in murders in places like Chicago and right here in Milwaukee in our own state. You look at the number of murders in Milwaukee this year compared to last year, and I think part of that stems from this anti-police hysteria that's been whipped up, and a lot of people are dead because of it. For whatever reason, they don't talk about all the people who've died in Milwaukee, but a lot more people have died this year than last year, and I think a lot of that is because of this. For political reasons, people feel they can make political hay trashing the police, and a lot of people have died because of it.
And I do know WPR News has been following those record numbers out of Milwaukee, and certainly, no one thinks that increased death is a good thing. I do want to ask, though, what is your response then to Black Lives Matter protesters who are saying this is our experience and we need you as a congressman to act?
Well, like I said, I mentioned two articles that I suggest your listeners look at.
But how do you respond to them?
The studies will show that, well, there are Black people who die in altercations with the police. And a lot of times when they look at it, the police really had no choice in the matter if they wanted to live themselves. But I think the mainstream media could help there if they publicized when a white person dies at the hand of police. That happens, and for whatever reason, it's not as publicized, and as the result, it creates a misperception among some people that the only people who die in a confrontation with the police are people of color. And I hate to blame the mainstream media on that, but I will blame them to a certain extent for creating that environment. Again, I'll ask your listeners, Google City Journal, Google Wall Street Journal, Heather McDonald. You'll be interested to see what you find out.
Sure. Yeah, I just wasn't sure if you wanted to speak directly to people calling for action. So, Representative Grothman, we really do appreciate
you. I will say I am against the bill in Congress, which is, I think, the most anti-police bill I've seen since I've been in politics, taking away qualified immunity from police officers.
Okay.
That would be a disaster.
Thank you for taking for helping us understand your stance on that. Representative Grothman, we appreciate your time today.
Always glad to talk to the erudite listeners of Wisconsin Public Radio.
They are indeed. Glenn Grothman is the Republican incumbent representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. You have a line to his challenger coming up. We've got former state senator Jessica King. We'll talk about some of the same issues we've talked with Congressman Grothman. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. As part of our election coverage, the Ideas Network is conducting interviews with candidates on the ballot for seats in Congress. That continues today with a focus on the 6th Congressional District. We just heard from the incumbent Republican Glenn Grothman. Now we'll hear from his opponent, Democrat Jessica King. Do you live in the 6th Congressional District? What issues matter to you? We're at 800-642-1234. Give us a call and let's have a conversation. We have Jessica King, who's the Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. She previously represented the 18th State Senate District from 2011 to 2013. Before that, served on the Oshkosh Common Council in 2007. Jessica, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you and good morning.
Good morning. We have really big challenges here in Wisconsin and across our nation when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic. Hospitalizations are up. More people are dying. More people are sick in areas including the district you're looking to represent. How do you think the federal government could bring the pandemic under control?
Well, I think it's pivotal that we identify asymptomatic carriers, and that means we really need to ramp up rapid testing. I think it would be wonderful if we could use the Defense Production Act to mass produce rapid tests, you know, tests that don't rely on complicated lab detection. There are tests that are could be produced for as little as $5 a test. And I think the mass distribution of these to be able to have them administered, you know, in our public schools or in our large employers, just to have these screening tests, because I believe that knowledge is power in this situation. And what has kept us from succeeding to defeat the virus is the lack of knowledge of asymptomatic carriers. And I do believe that Americans would do the right thing if they were diagnosed as an asymptomatic carrier. I think they would stay home to protect other people and save lives. I think that's pretty critical, you know, at this point, especially heading into winter. People are very much concerned, and I know everyone would like to have the economy be in full swing. And the truth is, we just need that common plan, that leadership, and then the support of rapid testing.
What role would Congress play in that then? Because as I hear you, is that an issue where you're saying we need to make sure that places have the materials? Or are you saying that Congress should make sure that or demand that more people get tested or set up additional requirements for people to actually participate? Because,
yeah, sure. I think it's the funding. The funding piece is where Congress has the opportunity to act. You know, I believe the executive, the president administration should be using the Defense Production Act to get them out there. And I think we're at a point now where it's really irresponsible that we have not moved forward with additional relief packages too in our response. I've been a loud and proud supporter of the SMART Act. I think we've really done a disservice to the state and local municipal communities by not acknowledging the revenue shortfalls that they are going to face. We're just at this point where, you know, previously I was a Chapter 7 bankruptcy trustee appointed by the Department of Justice, and I was on the Oshkosh Common Council during the 08 recession, and I understand there's so many tools and methods that we need to start invoking now, because we are statistically in a recession that's going to be much deeper and much worse than 2008. And we're not setting ourselves up for success. And I think we have to remember what types of things work. So I think, you know, for Congress to start looking at loan modification processes for landlords, for mortgage holders, for homeowners, looking at rent relief, these things are pretty important, especially as we're reaching out into the winter season. We really don't want to increase homelessness or have people be further destabilized by that fear, economic fear of not being able to stay in their homes. And the truth be told, that also reaches out to businesses. You know, I've talked to local businesses in the community that are saying, you know, my restaurant, the rent for my restaurant's $9,000. And, you know, if I'm at lower capacity, it doesn't even, you know, does it pay to stay open? And I think we really need that leadership to tell people in our communities from the federal government that we want to build a system that works, that doesn't expand the chaos. And I'm not a big fan of, you know, eviction moratoriums. I would rather see the capital and the revenue flow through, because, you know, when we saw the foreclosure destabilization in 2008, it really was an impactful experience. And since we've all lived through that, we don't really want to repeat those mistakes again. And I'm afraid that because Congress has failed to act, we're heading in that direction, and we really need new leadership, people that are willing to step in and say we need to use these tools and be smart about it.
Well, on that note, we know millions of people are out of work because of the pandemic, and you mentioned Congress has not agreed on the details of another stimulus package to help those struggling in this economy. So what do you think Congress should do, and how would you manage to move the needle in a deadlock?
Well, I think you have to propose amendments. I think we have to really put some transparency into where is the disagreement, you know, where is the sticking point? Because right now that's not obvious to everyone. I really think we do need to pursue some economic relief for households. It's very clear that was helpful, that the relief we did administer was helpful for people. And now of course we're hitting this winter season and it's not available. And so we're starting to see things deepen for people, more pain. We're definitely seeing more needy families looking for food assistance and things. And I think even Representative Grothman would acknowledge that, because he himself is given food aid. But I truly believe that as a representative of the 6th Congressional District, the thing that people are really looking for is actual legislative policy solutions rather than donations at this point from our leadership in Congress. So, you know, we have to put transparency on it. And that's what I would say. You know, as a Democrat, I have to admit the Heroes Act does seem large and eye-shocking to a lot of people in the 6th Congressional District. I have gotten that feedback. But the point is, the SMART Act is definitely reasonable and definitely addressing the needs of our local municipalities and our state governments. And we really need to push for that. And then I think it's taking these other pieces piece by piece. So looking at the rent assistance, the mortgage modifications, real estate loan modifications for small businesses, trying to figure those pieces out, and then definitely a piece for people who have been continued to be unemployed. I also wonder if we need to look at the Fair Credit Reporting Act and see if we can give some people some relief, because clearly there are so many people listening right now who still have not received their unemployment checks because there's still an adjudication or there's been a problem, and we're all aware of it. And unfortunately, that will have lasting impacts on their ability to get credit and financing in the future. And we just need to start thinking about how to be thoughtful moving forward so people aren't harmed any more than they need to be.
And for a bit of context, the SMART Act is about still $500 billion for coronavirus local community stabilization fund. And that is something that this candidate mentioned just now. We're talking with Jessica King, who's a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. She's running against Republican incumbent Glenn Grothman. And you have a line to her at 800-642-1110. 1234. What are the priorities that you have for your part of Wisconsin? What do you think about when you choose someone to vote to be a representation in Washington? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Jessica, I want to circle back a little bit to COVID-19 because hospital systems have really struggled to secure enough of those testing supplies. They're also looking at shortages with workers, and healthcare workers are getting sick. I mean, what role do you see Congress having in supporting our health system?
Oh, well, definitely. We need to be getting PPE to them. We need to think of creative ways to try to flex or help them as essential workers, get people to the hotspot areas. And I think we understand that fatigue is real, that the job safety issue is real, and that, you know, whatever reinforcements we can bring to the table. I think what we're realizing now is we're several months into the pandemic is that we definitely have hotspots. Wisconsin is a hotspot. And I think we need to look at what kind of mutual aid or shifting of essential healthcare workers that we can do. You know, is there, again, a bigger role for our armed services to play and our health personnel that are in the armed services? You know, is there a way to activate them or work together? Because we definitely we need to get in front of the situation and provide that necessary medical care. We need to support our essential workers, and then we need to make sure that those workplaces are safe.
How would Congress help to facilitate something like military health professionals participating in civilian care?
Well, I think it's negotiation with the National Guard, and I think it's also working with the president, quite frankly. I think what we're seeing right now is, you know, we have an ideological clash in our country where, you know, our chief, you know, our leader in chief, President Trump is not taking every measure that he could as the leader of our country to marshal these resources. But I do think there is a role for us as leaders in the House of Representatives to, one, make sure there's appropriations there to facilitate use and to continue to talk about relief efforts. But then also just in our public roles as leaders to urge our president to take steps that he needs to take and shine light on what is possible, because we need to work together at this point. It's clearly affected us as a country, you know, in our morale, and we just need leadership overall and that ability to negotiate with not only members of Congress, but with the governors of the 50 states and realize that we are one country. We need to have one plan, one purpose, and one objective, because the coronavirus does not care if your loved ones are Republican or Democrats or Libertarians or Greens, and we need to come together as Americans and say community before party, and we have to defeat the common foe that is COVID-19.
Republican President Donald Trump has said there won't be additional talks before Election Day, said that a while back. We also know that the Speaker of the House, Democrat Nancy Pelosi, has said we're not talking economic relief right now before the election. We're in the midst of candidate conversations leading up to the November general election. Former State Senator Jessica King is running against U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman. That's the incumbent representing the 6th Congressional District. We talked with him earlier this hour. The district covers Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Fond du Lac, and Oshkosh, as well as rural central Wisconsin, parts of other counties. Are you undecided in this district? What do you want to know before casting your ballot? What do you want Congress to be laser focused on? Join in at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This conversation continues on The Morning Show. This is the Ideas Network. These are candidate conversations leading up to the November general election. This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. We have former State Senator Jessica King with us. The Democrat is running against U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman for the 6th congressional seat. We spoke to Grothman earlier in the hour. Jessica King stays with us for about 10 more minutes, and you have time to ask her your question at 800-642-1234. Maybe you live in Wisconsin's 6th congressional district. What issues are important to you? What do you think is the right focus for Congress at this point in time? 800-642-1234. That's the number to call. Jessica, mask mandates are in the news a lot as we try to figure out whether elected officials are interested in keeping a mask mandate here in Wisconsin, or if that should be removed and if that is an appropriate thing to have. Wearing masks has become a political act. What role do you see the federal government playing in encouraging or not encouraging mandating masks in public spaces?
Well, I think we truly need a national strategy. And I think we, again, need to take the politics out of what I consider to be a public health and public safety issue. I mean, we need to come together, and it is no small task, but America has done it before. The United States is a very patriotic country, and I think we need to understand the patriotic symbolism of wearing a mask means that you care enough about your friends, neighbors, and other people in the community to save their life, potentially. And that's what I was getting at before. In a way, this is deeper than wearing masks. It's about having this national strategy and about understanding that these simple actions that each of us has the ability to take every day, each of us in our, 330 million strong have the ability to do simple things that actually save lives. And we need to hear that message strong from the top, from all levels of leadership. And we need to have this a national, what I consider patriotic effort. And again, it goes along with I truly think the solution is rapid tests, because I do believe the challenge we have to face is identifying asymptomatic carriers. And then I realized too, that there's probably a lot of people that wouldn't find the value in getting tested if they didn't have any symptoms. But that in the end is the struggle, isn't it? That we all know that what's causing this massive spread of this disease is the fact that there are so many asymptomatic people, meaning people that have no symptoms. They don't feel sick at all. And I think just that public health policy, public health education, to understand that that's the issue. And don't we all want to be heroes? I mean, if you knew you could save a life by this taking one simple act and it was tangible and we could make these numbers go down. I mean, we're already at, I think today or tomorrow we'll be at 230,000 friends and family and Americans lost. And then that's a huge, huge number.
Right. And when we are talking about this, we had a caller earlier who said, do you support the mask mandate? When I hear you talking about it, it sounds like you see the role of the federal government as education, but people are calling for real action. Is there a place beyond providing things that you see Congress should be stepping up and filling a gap there?
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, we've already seen what the Wisconsin Supreme Court has done. And I think that ends up tying people's hands when they don't feel that, we'll end up in these legal battles and legal challenges where our court systems aren't even supportive of the actions that we're taking. And I think it would be a really interesting court battle at the federal level. If we couldn't get the spirit of cooperation being present. So much of this is about negotiation and public policy. So anytime you pass, I don't know if the federal government could pass a mask mandate, but I have a feeling that if they did, it would be challenged in court rather quickly. And there we would go again. So we really have to do more to build up the spirit of negotiation and cooperation to do the right thing. And until we elect leaders that are willing to understand that this is a public health threat, public challenge, to get that support, because then it comes down to enforcement. And, those become costly things where honestly, public health and public education understanding and getting that buy-in from people is what we really need right now to move forward.
Jessica King is a Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. And we've got Randy from Portage ready to join the conversation. Hi, Randy.
Hey, good morning. Yes, a couple things. First off, I think wearing a mask is simply our patriotic duty. Simple as that. And it's no different than wearing a seatbelt. It's just a safety device. However, what I was calling about is, I think rather than just addressing not only the medical workers and police and fire out there, what about doing something for those of us that are an essential worker, but we're keeping America moving. I'm a mobile mechanic, go from business to business. Without us, product's going to slow down, if not stop. And our company, unfortunately, in damage control, has had to take away things like 401k raises, things like that. And I've seen prices on many things that I need as consumables. Number one, either unavailable. Our local Walmart shelves are sometimes rated to being empty. and costs just keep going up. But yet we're practically not really forced, but we have to be in the field, too, just to keep America going.
Yeah, Randy, thank you so much for that perspective. What about other kinds of essential workers? How would you see your role in Congress helping people like Randy?
Yes, I completely agree. You know, the classification of essential worker, they definitely need that support to be out there. Again, I'm acknowledging that we are in a deep recession, and I have sympathy for everyone out there who's trying to make ends meet and put things together right now. And I really think we need that kind of humanity to just be discussed and to, so people can feel like at least somebody understands what they're going through. One of the nice things that was in the CARES Act that I believe we need to be extended not only to folks such as the caller, but also looking at our early childhood caregivers, and just to understand that we actually need more professionals engaged in supporting working families at this point. And one of the things that Congress can do is to make permanent that essential worker wage bump. It was offered to early childhood care workers. I believe it was $5 an hour. But again, you know, that the idea is, you know, so many of our essential workers right now are living in poverty. And that really says something that, you know, traditionally the answer is, oh, if you, you know, you should get a better job if you're not making enough at what you're doing. But then that's not acknowledging the fact that, in fact, we actually need these essential workers to show up mm-hmm. so that way our economy functions. And so then we have this moral dilemma or a function of our market dilemma to say, do our essential workers deserve to live in poverty? And I think at this point, we really have to you know, go back to looking at what can the federal government do to ensure that these people have a livable wage and are there to have our back to keep our economy moving, because that's what we need them to do. And I really applaud the CARES Act for having that $5. And I think we should start making it permanent and look at other sectors. Thank you.
Yeah, Jessica, we're running out of time here, but I do want to get your response. We've seen Black Lives Matter protests here as part of the racial justice movement. And I want to know, do you believe there's systemic racism in our criminal justice system, in our police departments?
Well, what I believe is we have a loss of trust, you know, in our systems. And, you know, I come from Oshkosh, Winnebago County. It was not too long ago that we found our Republican district attorney being sentenced to state and federal charges for corruption. And I think when we have a system where we deny justice to one person, we were in fact denying it to all of us. So I think we have a lot of work to do in restoring that trust. And I think the first thing we can do is start by having funding for special prosecutor's offices and every officer involved desk, so that way people can feel that at least there will be proper fact finding and transparency in what's happening, and so we can get more details to make sure our systems are just and fair, our checks and balances work, and that we can restore trust in our systems.
What do you want to say to people who say, this is my experience, and I need you as a potential member of Congress to do something about it?
Well, I definitely support the justice and policing bill that was put forth in the House of Representatives. I think it's so important that we do acknowledge what we're seeing on videos today. It's right in front of our eyes, and we have to make sense of it and build a system that really has the checks and balances and supports that gives every person in the state of Wisconsin that feeling that, yes, that the system will work.
Jessica, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Jessica King is the Democratic candidate running to unseat Republican Congressman Glenn Grothman in Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. We spoke with Grothman earlier in the hour. This election season, WPR has invited candidates running in those races for interviews on The Morning Show and Central Time. You can find all of those interviews and learn more about the candidates and races at WPR.org/politics. I'm Keeley Boltina. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.